Stupid. And we're talking basketball again here on the Sacramento Kings Hoop Ball Podcast. I am Sam Comenti alongside the incomparable, the all-knowing Jillian Adge. Jill, happy to see you. Happy that we got to watch some basketball on Monday. Some actual, well, kind of technically.
Some real Kings basketball that wasn't Summer League. Yes.
Yeah. But yes, not Summer League. Summer League is definitely not real basketball. This involved the Kings coaching staff in the Kings arena, the Kings players. And it was fun. I didn't get to watch a whole lot of it. I was watching my Raiders instead lose on Monday Night Football. So I wanted to go through pain instead of a little bit of pleasure as you were enjoying the Kings get a meaningless preseason win. So we're going to touch on that. And what we thought about that first preseason game as we head into the second game tonight as they go to Los Angeles to play the LA Clippers. First point that we got to get out right away that I think both you and I want to talk about. Mitchell's impact on the defensive end. First thoughts, first impression, watching it against real NBA players. What did you think?
That was exciting. And like I had mentioned in the show that, I think our biggest question marks is just how will he do against size, right? Like, I mean, he's shown that he can stay in front of guys. And really, I mean, Cameron Payne, who had a great season last year, was re-signed, had a great playoffs, a great finals, and he closed him out. Like, and then he held his own against Elfrid Payton, who's a taller guard as well. So yes, of course, we didn't see Chris Paul, we didn't see Booker or Crowder. But again, I'm not really worried about who's not playing. I want to see who he does against the court. Cause right, when they're going to be playing these games, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be, you know, where he's going to not always go against top guys. So just seeing him get his first, you know, minutes and even if it's preseason, right, of an actual NBA regular season, you know, game, it was exciting. And you can feel, just even watching through the stream, you could feel the energy, right, that he brings in. There were multiple plays where he wasn't going to get credited for the steal, but he caused, his guy to make a bad pass. And you had Buddy, Mo, and TD jumping into the lanes and actually getting the steals, right? So it's, again, things that you're not necessarily going to see on the stat sheet, but he caused. So, and there was a great play where Mitchell and Tristan Thompson doubled. It was either Payne or Payton in the corner. Yeah. And it very much reminded me of what happened with Book Knight in the summer league, but this ended up being the double team. But you could see after it happened, it was Fox and Barnes were on the court too. And they gave like the fist pump and Barnes ran over and gave him the high five. Like, yes, yeah. Like this is what we want. And so just again, the little things, he looks more comfortable offensively off the dribble, which he excelled at in college much more than the catch and shoot. His numbers were better off the dribble. And so you continue to see that. But again, this is game one. This kid's going to keep working. You see how much he puts into it already and the coaching staff saying that they have to like send him home because he's constantly in there working on things. So I was just excited to see him get his feet wet and he didn't look lost, which is nice. No. You know what I mean? It's nice for the older rookies that they don't necessarily look as much of like a fish out of water. So, he definitely looks like someone who's going to be able to come in and make an impact. So
right.
From day one, which is all we want to see. Right. And so I was happy for him. He looked comfortable and yeah.
Defense,
it was great.
Defense is contagious. We've said that before. Everybody knows that you feed off it. One guy sets the tone, the rest of the people follow. What Mitchell said after the game that I wanted to make reference to, because it just shows like the consummate pro that he already is. The kid is wise beyond his years. He said, because offensively, he didn't have an outstanding game. I don't think that was really what he was looking to do, which is great. We don't need another scorer on this team. We need someone that is willing to do the dirty work, the grit and grind. Mitchell seems like he's up for that task already. But he said after the game that, quote, you're not always going to hit shots, but defensively, you can always put the effort in and play hard, end quote. That is verbatim what any well-rounded, successful coach, seasoned coach, not saying player, coach, would tell his team. They would say, or her team. They would say, you're not always going to have success from the floor, but you can make yourself count, make your presence count on the court by putting in effort and playing hard. I've said that as a coach to my little kids in soccer. You know, make your presence felt in any way you can and what you can control. So,
100%.
I love that. I loved hearing that from him. That's a pro's response to one of his first after game media questions of his NBA career. That's what he says. How can you not love this guy?
Well, and that's one of the best things about players that last in the league, right? That they don't necessarily have to be excel at one thing. If they can do a bunch of little things well, you stay around. And he is one where he seems to recognize what's on, what's off for that night, but he will make his presence felt if he's not on offensively, right? Which is okay. He will make his presence felt everywhere else during the game. And he's a playmaker. So it's not like even on the offensive side, you saw it where at the end of that buzzer beater, he's able to drive to the basket, realize where Tyrese was for the buzzer beater there. But I mean, you're going to see some ice cold days, you know, on offense, but the fact that he can actually,
how do you cover up for that?
Show it right in other parts of the game will be huge for the Kings, because I mean, you have certain guys on this team where they excel at one thing. And if that one thing's not there, there's not much they can show you.
Yeah.
Anywhere else on the court. So, it was really nice to see to see how he impacted, and made other guys better defensively. Like, yes.
Right. That's what they were hoping for. Yeah. I know. I'm sure that's one of McNair's thought processes in taking him, was these guys, even if they're not great defenders and, you know, you can't really do something about that, you can get them to be more dedicated to it. But some guys just aren't naturally great defenders, like a Buddy Hield. I don't think is naturally someone that's going to be a great defender. However, a guy like Mitchell will make him want to be a better defender, make him work harder, which is impossible for really Buddy Hield, because he already works so dang hard in the gym. Speaking of Buddy Hield and Marvin Bagley, the two people we talked about a good amount in our last podcast and who we were curious to see play in this game on Monday against the Suns, which final score, by the way, I didn't say it, but 117-106, the Kings put up a lot of points, held the Suns to a pretty good amount, I would say, in a first preseason game. They didn't let them score 120 plus, which is good in this first effort. But Bagley, start with him. He looked good. I think Marvin Bagley looked really good starting at the four. 15 points, 5 rebounds, 6 of 9 from the field. He was plus 2 in the plus or minus, which is a statistical category, if I'm being honest with you, Joe. I have no idea what it means. Absolutely no concept of how it works. But we like it when it's a positive number. Did Marvin Bagley show us something that's promising? Like, can we really roll with what we saw from him going into this next game and the rest of the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think... outside of defensively, which I mean, I don't expect it to be a change overnight over defense. Like, I mean, I saw some comments that people were like, oh, looks like he's still bad on defense. Like, I'm not expecting it again to change game one of the preseason. And so you're going to have some ugly nights, but my thing is, can you grow from the floor where you're at now? That's all I want to see. And so, you know, there were times where he actually was staying in front of some of the guards, which I thought was better than he's done in previous seasons. So, it's going to be a road, and it might be a long road. Show me some building blocks. You know what I mean? Like as we go along, I thought it was great. You had Doug Christie constantly when guys were coming out, you know, talking to him, going in their ears. I think that's only going to help. On the rebounding, Bagley did what we want to see. The right. only bad, the only thing that sucks for me is that I know they want to stretch him out, but by stretching him out, it removes him from the glass too. And so there were multiple times where he was in the corner, you know, ready to catch, you know, for a 3-point shot. And we miss it and he's not able to get into the glass for the rebound. So, I mean, at some point, I don't know what's going to go on there, but they're going to have to figure out, how they're going to really utilize him and to maybe use him to some of his strengths. And maybe that's just something they're doing right now to continue to work on that outside shot. But I also think it depends on who they match him up with. Because obviously Holmes is not going to be standing out in the corner, right? You would have Bagley there, but yeah, that's just, there were some things where I was just like, dang, I wish there were like 3 or 4 plays in a row that we did not get any kind of offensive rebound while he was on the court. And it was always because he was standing behind the 3-point line. And then a couple plays later, he was down at the basket and he was getting the putback. So it's like, it's noticeable when he's not there.
Sure.
Compared to where he was there. So I'm curious to see how that goes forward. Buddy, I was impressed with some of his assists that he actually had.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, that
he's a good passer. He's an underrated passer.
That's something that he has gotten better with, right? Like we like to say that Buddy doesn't improve in things. He's improved in his rebounding. And I thought that he showed some real vision, which I like to see. He was actually getting in some of the passing lanes, like I mentioned, when he was playing with Mitchell, which I was interested to see how that was going to work. He actually got, let me see how many steals did Buddy have. He was jumping in lanes. I mean, he was getting tips.
Yeah.
Again, it's not going to come overnight. Roughly. But there, he got some hands on some of the balls, right. Tip wise. So it's, again, he was moving. And I just go back to, I was watching the Knicks were playing their preseason game yesterday against, I think it was the Pacers.
Yeah.
And, they had Tibbs talking on before the game about, you know, can they keep up their defensive numbers that we talked about a couple episodes ago. And he was saying that defense is effort and togetherness, right? Everyone do your job, you become a machine. As soon as one person breaks that machine, you start breaking, right? And so he just kept saying, just keep working, just, you know, keep the communication open, just keep trying to stay on that string. You know what I mean? It sounds right. So simple when you're like, oh, stay on a string, but it literally is that. And if you watch the really good defensive teams, one guy moves, the other guys are moving. And so I was trying to watch that with the Kings. And again, we're watching streams, so it's kind of hard, but I was encouraged by some of the movement I saw from guys. Buddy looked really active, at least on that end, where I didn't see much, you know, standing upright, which to me was better. He was actually, you know, bent down, like constantly moving. He had his head on a swivel, like looking at things. So again, those are improvements for me. But yeah, so just continue and then keep working on the rotations. I'm curious. We saw a lot of the multiple small guard lineups. And I thought, the way he rotated guys in and out, they looked fresh. I know it was game one, but guys actually looked like they were fresh. Their legs were with them. And I thought having, you know, mixing the different guards between Fox, TD, Buddy, Mitchell, like each time you bring one in with another, it forces the defense to have to change too, because they all play very different, right? Like with Buddy, you're going to get him standing and shooting. With Mitchell, you're going to get driving dishes plus some shooting. TD, you're going to get a little bit of both. Halliburton, Fox are going to be initiating. So it's not like we have all these guards and they all play the same way, so they can all be defended the same way. It's nice to see it mixed and match. And there is, you know, there's, it varies there on, what the defense has to do, and they have to, So I'm just curious in the next couple games of preseason, if he's going to keep those same rotations moving or if he's going to mix them up even more. And are we going to get the same starting lineup or a different one?
Yeah, that'll be an interesting. We don't know yet, as we did before the Monday podcast, what the starting lineup was. Yeah. It's too early for that right now as we're recording this, but I imagine it'll be somewhat different. We might see Buddy back in the lineup, or you might see Harkless get a start. Touch on a couple more stats. The Kings did out rebound Phoenix, which that is a trait that we expect this year. With this much size and physicality down low, you should always out rebound. Well, not always, but you should rebound, out rebound most of your opponents. The Kings out rebounded them 51-38. That's a plus 13 differential. For those that aren't good at math, that would be me included. It took me a second to actually do that math. The rotations were interesting to keep an eye on defense, the defensive rotations. That's something about Luke Walton's defensive scheme and a lot of team schemes now in the NBA. They're all leaning that direction where now you switch. You don't keep your guy and help. You switch as quickly as you get beat. Like, it's the next guy comes up, you go to his defender. That's an underrated aspect of the defense that makes it actually, to me, more challenging. Because when is it the right time for me to know, okay, I've been beat, I need to go to his guy, my guy or my teammate's going to take him now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a timing thing. You got to know when do we switch? We go now. Okay, now we're on different players. That's a thing that's nuanced, that takes a lot of practice, that Luke Walton, to his defense, hasn't had an uninterrupted stretch to really hammer at these guys.
They haven't had practice.
Yeah,
I mean, besides now. Exactly. Like, at least last season, they implemented it, right? And they weren't able to actually practice.
Right.
I'm doing it now. They can. And that goes back to, you know, what Tibbs was saying. You need everybody on the same page, on the same string.
Or it's not going to work. Yeah.
So that's things they're going to have to keep working on. But yeah, it's almost every team you're watching now is going that route. And whether it be because of the 3-point shooting, where, because you have so many guys that fight through the screens and aren't able to get above or below, and you're just expected to step out, right? Like, if you're screening someone, depending on what that player is known for, you can step out or step back. So it'll be interesting to see if practice helps, you know what I mean? Like, the foundation of that, which we can only hope. If they want a shot, it has to.
Do you have anything that really stuck out to you that needs to be improved, or you want to see improvement from in this game, or what would you like to see that you didn't see in this first preseason game that you'd like to see tonight against the Clippers? Is there anything that kind of sticks out to you that pops?
Improve free throw shooting again.
Yeah.
We were at what, like 78 last year. And I think we were 68 or something like that.
In like 19 free throw attempts, which is not enough.
And so that needs to improve. And I thought it was interesting. G-Man mentioned that we hired, what was his name?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Is it Dan? And I'm totally,
I know what you're talking about, because I saw you tweet about it, I should say.
Oh yeah. Don Vaden. He was the ex-head of, officiating for the NBA and the WNBA for years. And since he's retired from that, the Wizards, the Blazers, off the top of my head, Raptors, that's just off like my quick little research. I can only imagine that there's more teams that have utilized them, but the Kings have hired him as a consultant. And so what they use them for is he's supposed to help them kind of recognize what kind of calls could be made, what to look for, body type, how to not necessarily show emotion to refs, you know, things like that.
New but
yeah, it's just supposed
too.
To help your players, yeah, adjust to new rules, right. And how to read the new rules and to utilize it to your strength. So a guy like Fox, right, where he's constantly going to the basket. I know the Blazers used it for Lillard, and his free throw numbers, attempts, all that kind of stuff went up. And so I could only imagine that they were looking for the same kind of thing with Fox, being as he's one of the players that gets to the rim the most in the league, and
he
how
be
to
a lot of free throws.
Right, how to get those whistles. So any little thing can help.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. But, no.
That was something that G-Man mentioned.
I hadn't heard about that until I saw your tweet. I should listen to G-Man more. That man's a legend. So yes, that's an interesting way for the Kings to try and gain an advantage, especially going into this year with some of the rule changes. The biggest one, of course, being not going to be getting those calls where you get them up off their feet. I'm trying to think of the best way to word it. The James Harden rule, you should just call it that, where you're BS, throwing your body in, throwing the ball up, that's not going to be called a foul anymore. It might even be called an offensive foul for trying to initiate the contact, which that should always been a thing, in my opinion. You shouldn't reward a guy for blatantly selling some sort of contact.
Yeah. Same way you do for charges, right?
Right.
Like now that they're flopping, you know, right.
Yeah, that's a great rule.
Essentially a shooting flop.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's a good way of putting it. The only other thing you said, free throws. I wrote that down. Improve on threes too. 16 threes in a game is good. However, you shot 47 of them. That's a 34% clip. That's not efficient. That's not going to be your friend if you're shooting 34% from three during the season. Keep shooting threes. You know they will. You got to make more of them and have a better efficiency and better volume of threes.
Yeah, and then I know we've talked about this with Buddy before. Is for the most part, I didn't really have an issue with his shot selection, but there were like two or three that he took from multiple feet outside the three-point line and really early in the shot clock and like was not close. So yeah, just maybe seeing a little bit less of that. But I mean, I also know that, you know, if you're putting him as a sixth man, I can only imagine that they're giving him the green light and he's out there, but still, you know, there were things where it wasn't, I can understand if he's blatantly open, right? Like if you are so wide open, like shoot it. I could care less that you're early in the shot clock. But those weren't the case with these shots. So again, just being cognizant of that. And then you mentioned rebounding, try and run the boards again, you know, that every game, right? This game.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And the Clippers are going to have some guys that didn't play tonight. And like Paul George and Morris and things like that. So yeah, this is going to be a good test for Davion too, with some of their taller guards as well. So you have Kennard, you have Mann. I'm not sure if Reggie Jackson is playing or not, Terrence, but you have Paul George. Yeah. Who they play in multiple positions. So yeah, I just see how he handles again. I know the Sun sat out some guys, but how he's going to handle another, you know, title contender essentially. So
yeah. Thank you. Schedule makers.
He's getting good work at the beginning.
Yeah. Thank you. You knew exactly what I was going to say. Thank you. Schedule makers. Yeah,
it's not going to get any easier. So
these not so easy.
Tests
in the preseason. That's what you want. Throw the kitchen sink at them. See what they're made of. Last couple things here before we move on. Just giving credit where credit is due to Harrison Barnes, 18 points in only 23 minutes plus 12. Phenomenal. We know that Barnes can do that on a consistent basis, scoring inside, outside, passing the ball well, attacking the rim. Such an underrated, it's my keyword of this podcast, but you know, there's a lot of
consistency.
exactly. There's these underrated qualities to some of these Kings players that deserve to be brought to light more. Barnes's ability to always attack and get to the rim, very valuable on this team that needs to get to the rim more, get more free throws. He had a phenomenal game. Need more consistency from him though in that category. Bagley already gave credit to for his stat line. Halliburton was trying to just call him Hallie and then extended it. 11 points, I think 4 assists, 4 rebounds. He is the definition of just team player. That's why he's such a fan favorite and team favorite. You know, everyone on that coaching staff already loves him. He does everything. He does everything well. Even if it's not blowing up the stat sheet, it's there. It's present. He does what you need him to do to win a game. So terrific game, as we're going to expect now from Halliburton. Jerry Reynolds is expecting him to even be bigger and better this year, which is for him. If I'm Halliburton, I'm flattered that the man himself, Jerry Reynolds, says, I expect you to even go further this year, as he should. Sophomore year, keep going. So good stat lines all around. 117 points will do that for you. A win will do that for you. We're going to shift to a game now. I'm a big game guy, as people learned in the last podcast, something I think that just makes anything more fun. I love games, and I love games that show how smart you are, Jill. This one's gonna not, I guess, do that as much. You don't get to flex all your stats and fun facts in this one, but you get to show how you're feeling about some of these guys going into this season. It's a game of fact and fiction, a staple of sports media, in my opinion. It's fact or fiction, true or false, yay or nay, whatever you want to call it. It's a fun game. And, gives me kind of a feeling for how you're feeling, Jill, with some of these topics that we've touched on and that are going to keep getting bigger and bigger as we head into the season. So the first one, going right at it, We've talked about him plenty. Davion Mitchell. So fact or fiction, just tell me what you think. Davion Mitchell is already the Kings' best defender.
In one game?
It's summer league, too. Summer league. College reputation precedes him.
Yeah.
Fact or fiction?
I mean,
Kings don't have a whole lot of.
I was just going to say, there's not defenders. Like, I'm trying to think of like other defenders, like team defensively. I think Barnes is up there just with his experience.
On-ball defender, best on-ball defender.
Yeah, on-ball, I think Mitchell, yes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know who you would put over him at this point. That's kind of my...
Yeah, that's my thing.
I mean,
too.
I know Halliburton showed really good defensive instincts last year. But yes, I mean, he really might be at this point. when we're relying on our rookie to completely change...
I'll go down that
our
road.
Defensive mentality, like it's hard to say.
Yeah, I know.
He might not be.
So true. That points out the flaw in our faith in Mitchell's that you had to think about that.
But you're asking a lot of this game.
Oh yeah. And
that's the sucky thing. It's like I feel bad. Like I get it. Like you're a lottery pick, but when you're asking a rookie to completely change one of the worst defensive. Teams in NBA history, but
I'm writing down fact though for on ball defender Davion Mitchell is the guy for the Kings. That's a fact to you. I think it's a fact for me. Okay.
I would love if anyone disagrees. I would love to hear who they.
Yeah, I don't know who you put ahead of them.
Who we might be. Yeah, forgetting.
It's Barnes, maybe Mo Harkless down low, which is a whole different beast. Tristan Thompson or Alex Len. But a lot
of those guys are just good team defenders. Like they've been consistent, like team defenders. Yeah.
Harkless, I could
see someone say Harkless as well.
And I would not necessarily disagree with him. He's also been in the league.
I wouldn't disagree with any of those. Yeah.
Been there, done that. So this one is fun for me just because we know we're going to see a lot of it. So, and we're going to, I guess this question will be answered. This statement will be proven fact or fiction, probably rather quick in the season. Three guard lineups give the Kings their best chance to win in 2021. Fact or fiction?
Because that's our current roster.
Because
like based on our roster currently.
Yeah.
Probably yes. Just based on how our roster is currently made up. Yes.
Right. Ben Simmons.
I don't believe that's the best option out there, but with our current lineup, yes.
Cool. I agree with that as well. We're very like-minded here, at least in three or two questions here, Jill. Okay. Third one before we have a fun bonus round. Buddy's best way to help the team is as the sixth man. He had 14 points and repeated 14 points, four rebounds, plus
six. Yeah.
Okay, good. That one was easy. I thought that was an easy one too. So,
but Buddy not should... everyone necessarily would probably agree. So,
They won't. That's why it surprises me somewhat because I know you think the same. I don't think it's that polarizing. He should come off the bench. That fits his style of play perfectly and allows Halliburton to start next to Fox. That gives you the best start out of the gate, best chance to, you know, build a lead early and then send out the firepower in the second unit with Mitchell, who can cover up some of Buddy's defensive deficiencies.
Yeah. And it's not like my thing is, I think a lot of people make too much of starting, non-starting, like I care about minutes. If you're out there, like
40 minutes,
regardless if you start or not, you're going to play. And to me, he's such a streaky guy that I feel like he gets hot quicker when he's coming off the bench against lesser talent. Like it's good for him because you're going against less talent on the other end and you can do what you do best. And then you keep getting minutes. It's not like you're only playing with bench players. Like they still mix you in there. You're still getting your minutes. But for these, like, that's what Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, like those Terrence Ross for your, like Jamal Crawford.
There's nothing wrong
with being a sixth man. Like,
no, put your pride aside.
Good shooters and they get hot off the bat and it just sets the tone for the rest of the game. So 100% fact, and I hope that they keep doing that.
So three facts is what we're going with on those. Here's a fun bonus one. You don't even need to answer this if you don't want to. It's kind of stupid. But I think it stuck out to me in listening to Luke Walton's press conference. Luke Walton's new hairstyle is an improvement. Fact or fiction? Slicked it back. It threw me off. I was like, I noticed that.
Okay. I wasn't sure fella. If I was the only one that's hilarious you said that because I rewatched back yesterday.
Just mixing things up.
It wasn't as curly. Like he lost some of the curl up top. So I would say go back to I like the curl better.
Okay. Curls get the girls. Yeah. So I do too. That is
really funny. You notice that we have not talked about this.
We did not. I didn't tell you that was a question.
And I was looking at the video and I was like, is there something different with how it was back? Yeah.
It's funny.
I just wasn't sure if it was me or not. Okay.
No. I was there with you. It definitely popped to me. It was like the first 2 seconds. Yeah. I was like, his hair looks different. Going for the slick.
Yeah. Back. A little bit more of the wave, you know, the curl and the wave back.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Again, here's a chance for people that listen to us. If you have ideas of questions, fact or fiction statements, things like this, fitting this narrative, please send them in to me or Jill, because we'll ask them on the show and you'll get to hear what we think about it. I think this was a good first go around, Jill. What do you think?
Yeah. Also, we'd love to hear if you guys want to send us your fact or fiction on what Sam asked.
Yeah, please.
Go for it.
Yeah. I kept it kind of light, but also I thought we hit some. You know,
it's preseason, right? It'll get more meaty. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully if the Kings give us some good stuff to talk about. Okay. So fact or fiction done, game done. I love it. Jill, thank you for partaking in that and answering the stupid Luke Walton question. The GM poll every year, the general managers are polled. I think from writers, or I'm actually not sure who polls them. Do you know that?
It was on their website. I'm assuming it's the NBA does it. It was on their website. So their PR or communications team probably reaches out to
fun idea.
To GMs because they do it every year. Yeah.
No, they do. Yeah. And then it's annual for sure.
Yeah.
So I
would assume it's just a league thing. And then they give like that survey. Right. And yeah.
We'll briefly touch on how it pertains to the Kings, what was talked about. The biggest one, fastest player with the ball in their hands, 59% of general managers said it was De'Aaron Fox. He's numero uno, number one on that list with 59%. Ja Morant was second. He only has 24%. So this wasn't even like a tough question for the general managers.
No, yeah.
Is it a tough question for you? I don't think it's that tough.
I didn't think that was a surprise.
No, that's not a surprise.
And going back on previous years, it's been pretty similar. So
good for Fox getting the recognition he deserves.
Yeah.
Rookie of the year. Jalen Green is the overwhelming favorite, but him and Cade Cunningham, the 1 and 2 picks in the draft, they're the overwhelming favorites. Jalen Green's first, 47%. Cade Cunningham second, 40%. I would think it's pretty safe to say one of them is going to win rookie of the year, especially on the teams that they are playing. But Davion Mitchell also received either a vote or some votes. So he's getting some love.
Yeah, and Sengun was on there with him too. So
he was a fan favorite.
There's some surprising, yeah.
Of a lot of Kings people before the draft. Rookie who will be the best in the next 5 years, Evan Mobley was first at 33%, then Cade Cunningham again. Davion Mitchell is on that list again, 3%. I don't know how many votes that would be, 2 or 3 votes from the 30 general managers. Still nice to be even recognized, in my opinion. Most improved, 2021. Do you know who was number one? You probably have the list.
Okay. So I actually had this marked down as an interesting
thing. Okay, go ahead. It's all you.
My first one was that I was kind of looking at the different names and kind of when they were drafted and such. So if you didn't see it, Jaren Jackson Jr. was number one. But I thought it was interesting that Bagley wasn't even like an honorable mention. Like, and to me, like we talk about how we need a good Marvin Bagley to be, you know,
a good team.
For a good team. Right. And so I thought that gave kind of a good indication of how general managers feel about him at this time. Right. Like people keep saying, well, how's he still on the team? Why isn't he traded? Like things like that. Well, he's got an $11 million price tag right now. It's the last year on his deal. And he wasn't, you know, there were multiple players from that draft class that were on this list and he wasn't. So just, I thought that was interesting as a little, he wasn't there. And Jaren's had some of the same issues as him, as he's had a hard time staying healthy, but people still see him as, they still think he has that. So I thought that was interesting that you have two guys from the same draft class that have both been injured, and he was a clear number one and Bagley wasn't an honorable mention. So, I mean, again, we'll see what ends up happening through the season. He could surprise a lot of people. I mean, it's not like we haven't seen surprisers throughout the year, right?
Of course.
Look at Randall last year where he blew everybody out of the park. So I thought that one was interesting. I thought another one was the Kings weren't listed as a promising young core. So I'm like, can we drop the whole young core thing now? Like, that's another excuse we get every year, right? Oh, they're just young and they have to figure it out, right? They were on there last year. They were one of the top, you know, five that were on there.
How did that
as promising
out?
Young core. They were not listed this year and they were not an honorable mention. So at some point you have to show progress for people to keep believing in your core. Doesn't mean they don't like Fox, doesn't mean they don't like Halliburton, but again, they haven't shown anything as a team, as a unit, that they're able to get anywhere. Like you saw Atlanta did, you saw New York, you saw Memphis again, right? Like, who are younger? You're seeing teams younger. I think Minnesota was an honorable mention. And then I don't know if New Orleans was in the top one or if they were honorable mention as well, but
they deserve one just because of Zion.
That's kind of, you know, where people go with it, but yeah. So I did think that was interesting that they were there last year. They weren't again this year. And especially with how, you know, the excuses that are given. And then I thought it was interesting too, that if you look at the question of who the best players are without in moving without the ball, it's pretty much all of the top shooters in the league minus Buddy. So to me, ouch, that's something I think Buddy should still keep.
He's good at it. He's definitely good at it.
Keep working on. But I did think it was interesting. You had your, it was Doug McDermott, Curry, both Curry's, I think, Duncan Robinson. So it was your kind of like usuals that, that you see, up there with, the better shooters in the league. And he didn't have any kind of vote at all. So that was another interesting one. Our Harrison Barnes, you know, our guy, he got a vote for the current player who
that's
you think
be a
would
coach.
Be a good head coach. He was listed on there, not surprising at all.
No.
I did think it was funny that the number one voted surprise move was Westbrook to the Lakers. So that might have made Monty feel good because he wasn't the only one surprised. It turns out the rest of the league
ended
up being surprised as well.
The storyline makes sense with that, though. Yeah. It's like the Westbrook back to LA itself is not a surprise. But yes, the trade itself.
But the trade itself, yeah.
We got you.
No, I did think that was interesting that they all voted for that, like by a wide margin.
A lot of good stuff on that poll.
Yeah. And then you had the assistant coach list, the best assistant coaches in the league. And it was pretty funny because I think three out of the four or something like that, that were in the top ones were all ex-head coaches, now assistant. So that makes sense. But it was nice to see Mike Lombardi. Yeah, we saw Mike Lombardi on there, and that's our new Mr. Defense. So, it was cool to see him on there. You know, I think he's been in the league like 20 years now. So clearly it's clearly paying dividends, right? It's funny to see him and Doug sitting next to each other and then standing up and yelling defense.
Very, very small guy. Or just an average height guy, just happens to be on an NBA bench.
Yeah.
So makes you smaller.
Yeah.
So that
was my list of what stood out to me.
Very good. I think you dove into it a little bit farther than I did looking at it. So that's good. Cause you filled me in on some stuff I didn't realize there myself. I'm going to save this one thing we're going to do to the next show, our Friday show, in which we bring a guest on. I don't know if we want to spoil it. Do we want to share who's coming on with us on Friday, Jill?
Yeah, we'll have Tony from the King's Herald, and then we might have Will, but that's still to be determined. But we were at least have Tony as a for sure coming up on Friday's show. So that'll be exciting.
Joe asked me if I knew Tony, and I'm sure I'll say this to him when he's on Friday. And I was like, do you mean the guy whose Twitter bio is Bill Walton. A hippie shirt and sunglasses? So how could I not know who that is? love that profile, Tony. It always makes me laugh. Okay, so yeah, we'll save that question. I had a little roundtable discussion. We can have it with Tony. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope everyone watches. Well, I don't know how you can watch. There's no NBA live. There's no Kings.com stream.
I'll be watching on League Pass. So if you want to follow along on my Twitter, I will have that on there. And then also check me out before the game on there too, because if there's a way to watch it, you will find it on my beautiful page. We'll leave it at that.
that's what Jill does for us. Thank you. That's why we follow you. Yes. So go Kings. That'll be fun to dissect on Friday, how they did against the Clippers. Again, another very good Western Conference team. Follow Jill on Twitter. You can get live streams. That's always a win. Follow me on Twitter. You will not get live streams. I don't have League Pass. I'm poor. And yeah, we'll see you guys back here on Friday. And remember what Monty McNair said, guys, on his tweet. He didn't really say it. Ted Lasso said it. He said it through. Just believe. Everybody just take a breath and believe. We'll see you guys back here on Friday.
It's preseason. Have fun. And it's preseason. Right? Just
have fun. Believe that it's preseason, because it is. All right, guys. We'll check back with you on Friday. Later.